How many of you have been looking into the Word of God? Amen. Anybody meditate here? Sometimes one verse can change your life. Amen. Amen. It's not about every verse. It's not about knowing everything. But it's about applying what we do know. Amen. Most of us know a lot, and some of us forgotten more than we. Amen. We've been so fattened up with the Word of God. Amen. How many are thankful for the Word? How many know it's the Word of God that we stand on? Amen. The unchanging Word of the Lord. I'm trying to find where I'm at today. Hallelujah. Well, let's go to John. Did I say John?
Yeah.
John 17. Hallelujah. Let's take a look at some things here. We've been talking about love. Not natural human love, but divine love. Amen. How many know divine love is different than natural human love? Divine love is what comes out of your spirit. It's what God gave us to walk in. Amen. He said that the love of God, Romans chapter 5, right? 5:5, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. How many know God lives in you? He set love on the inside of you. We said in 1 John, where he said, what? By this, how do we know that we pass from death to life? Because we love the brother. How many love people more than you used to? You got born again, and what happened? You started loving people, didn't you? You started loving other believers. You started loving more. You know, you said, well, I already loved some people. I loved them in one way. But how many's love increased? Amen. How many know you could be a pretty good person and you may have a certain amount of human love. And we know that all men, you know, all people, most of them that I've seen, even some of the most evil people will love their children. You know, they love them the best they know how. But how many know divine love will take you to a new level? It'll take you to someplace else. Amen. And we know that that kind of love supersedes. It goes beyond what we can think or even imagine. Amen. It goes deeper and higher than any love there is. It is a love that is sacrificial, isn't it? It's a love that's never ending, and it's a love that will be there for us forever. It's unchanging because it comes from God. Amen. It's not going to change. You say, well, I've been doing the wrong things, and I haven't been living for God. His love for you did not change. Now, your choices may have changed, but his love didn't change. However, neither did his requirements for salvation. Amen. Neither did his commandments. They didn't change either, did they? Amen. Sometimes we change, but how many know God doesn't change? His love is forever and steady, and he's always there. The moment you turn, he receives you to himself. Isn't that awesome? The moment we ask, forgiveness is available when we agree with what he said. You know, a lot of people say, well, okay. Well, hallelujah. You know, some people will say, well, I love God, and that's good. It's good to love God. Amen. But he said, if you love me, you'll keep what? My commandments, right? If you love me. And he said, my commandments to you will not be burdensome. It's not a hard thing. His commandments are what? To love, number one, love the Lord our God, right? With all our soul, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, with all that we are. And the second commandment was like it, to love our neighbor as ourself, or in the same way that God loves us. Amen. And we think we should love people like God does. Why? He lives in us. So it must be possible. Amen? or he wouldn't say to do it, would he? Amen. He said to forgive like he does. How many know? We talked about that. Love forgives, right? Love endures long and is patient and kind. Hallelujah. But here in John 17, hallelujah. And Jesus was praying. And he talks about us being one with him and with the Father. All right, let's just look here starting verse 15. Here it says, I pray that thou wouldst not take them out of the world, but you shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Hallelujah. And for their sakes, well, it's verse 19. I'm reading it again. I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for those alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, or in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Whew. Glory. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Can you imagine? See how much the Father loves you. Jesus is praying here. He's saying that they will know that you sent me what now hast, that you've loved them, that we would know that God loves us, what? As thou, Jesus says, just like you love me. Are you understanding? He loves you and I as much as he loves Jesus. He loves you as much as Jesus. And Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me, that where I am, they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me might be what? In them, and I in them. The same love that was in Jesus. What is he talking about? What do you mean, Jesus, that where I am, you may be also? At that time, at this time where Jesus is praying, how many know there are no born-again people on the earth? There's none alive to God but him. But he's already praying for us. He said, I've already told them who you are. I have shared this with mankind. I have come to be that sacrifice. But the same things that are in me right now, where I am now alive to you, Father, and your love living in me will be in them. When will it be in you and I? When we are once born again. The moment you receive Jesus into your life, you say, Jesus, be my Lord. Forgive me of my sin. I turn to you, Lord God. I repent. I see my need of the Savior, and I come to you. He begins to move in. You see, the love of God moved in on the inside of you. Just like love was on the inside of Jesus, it moved to the inside of you and I. You say, well, why is that so important, Pastor Doug? Because we have to understand something. God gave authority to man. And when Jesus came to the earth, he had to come as a man. Because man needed a substitute for something called sin. And sin produced something called death. Man was already subject to death. In other words, not, and we know, of course, in the beginning with Adam and Eve, man died, didn't he? When he ate of the fruit, what happened? He died. Did he immediately die spiritually? He did not, did he? It didn't look like death had come, but death entered into man in one place, and that was right here in his spirit. His spiritual man became dead to God, and God was looking for him. But one problem that God had. You said, well, why didn't God? God could have, couldn't he? He could have just gave that glory back to man. He could have gave that position back to man, but there was one problem. God had already given man all authority in the earth, remember? He said, I give you dominion. I give you authority to rule the earth. So man has full authority over the earth. Now that authority, I haven't read anywhere in the Bible where that authority was ever taken away from man. God gave it. And so God legally had to come into the earth as a man to pay the price. Why? Because the DNA of Adam was already dead. It died. And you and I and every generation that was born after Adam was born into a fallen race. We were dead. We were a fallen race. Well, how do you know that? Well, let's take a look. What was God's original plan? Genesis chapter 1, right? Now here Jesus is praying that they would be one with me and you, God. I want man to be restored to a oneness, Father. I want them to have the same love that was in you in them. I want the same kind of glory that's on the inside of me, that nature that is alive unto you, God. I want it in mankind. Jesus was praying this in John 17, and he's saying, Lord, I told them I'm the way, the truth, the life. They know, Lord, you're getting ready to glorify me back to the place where I came from. And Father, I'm praying not just for those that are here now, but for all mankind, that they will have this oneness. He was getting ready to go and pay the price. He was going to finish the deal. Amen? How many know? What did he say at the cross? It is what? Finished. He said, it's done. The price for death was paid. But let's look here. Genesis chapter 1. Let me see. I think verse 26. Yeah, let's go with 26. And here it says, and God said, let us make man in our what? Image. After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So they had authority over all creeps. Amen. Hallelujah. So... And you do too. Amen. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. All right, hallelujah. So here God says, hey, I want you to realize in the beginning, I want you to know I create man in my image. In other words, we might say he looks just like me. I made him like myself. Hallelujah. Amen. And that was God's plan for man to live in what? That perfect state, the state of perfection. You and I really don't understand the state of perfection like Adam and Eve had, do we? You know why? Their body was even glorified. Their body was clothed, what? In the glory of God. God had breathed into them. Chapter 2, verse 7 of Genesis. It says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and what breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living being. The very breath and life of God had moved in Adam and Eve. They had the life of God in them. They were alive to the Father. Clothed, we know, in the glory of God. They, the Bible says, they were what? Naked and unashamed. They had no shame. They had no guilt. They were born in a perfect state. And also, their surroundings and their world was perfect. Why? There was no death. There had no death. There was no evil. There was nothing wrong. It was a perfect place. And you and I, the problem is, see, we don't really, when we're born again, we are changed. We come back to a place of what? Right standing with God, where we are created on the inside. The inside of us becomes alive to God, and God breathes into us a new spirit. The old is gone, that new spirit comes, right? When we are born again. Ooh, glory! Isn't that good news? Where God came and what? He moved in. He came to the inside of us. Changed that death nature to one that is alive to Him. Now, that being true, we still live in a body that is under death. The body of us, our natural man, is still in a... So we have an alive, created spirit, but what? We're left here. Remember what Jesus prayed in John 17. Father, not that you take them out of the world, but they remain, what? In the world. But my love and my life and my glory will be, what? In them, that they may be one with you and I, so that we can now communicate with God. The difference between you and I is Adam had a glorified body to go with his spiritual man, which was alive to God. The difference between you and I, we don't have yet in this life here on earth a glorified body, do we? Anybody here been glorified in the body? If you had, I'm sure we would all notice. You would have that perfect glow, wouldn't you? You know, but how many know you have a glorified body on account? Already set to your name, and one day you will receive that, won't you? Whether you pass from this life or Jesus returns and we get that new body and that newness. Amen. We're going to get a new body one day. But right now, he says we have to call that body dead. It is a place of, really, a place of death for us. Hallelujah. So we see here that man is there. He's created, and God made him to look like him, to act like him, and to live like God would live on the earth. That was his original purpose and plan. But how many know? And to fill the earth. I mean, that was his command. So we're looking identical to God, and we're created in that place of perfection. Let's look at Genesis 3:1 real quick. Chapter 3, verse 1. What does he say here? And we'll read Genesis 1:31. Thank you, Lord. It said, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good in the morning and the evening." There's the sixth day, right? Hallelujah. "And thus the heavens and the earth were finished." The earth was finished and all the host of them. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, sanctified it, because that in that he rested from his work which God had made." And made, that God created and made. All that he created and made. "And these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in that day. The Lord made the earth and the heavens, every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground." And so here, what I want us to see, this was the perfection of God. There's no labor of man that was needed. It was all self-sufficient. We weren't laboring, what? By the sweat of the brow, were we? Were they? They weren't on that. That was part of the curse of the fall. And not only was that, see, not only Adam and Eve died spiritually, but death begin to come to the planet. Amen. I know we want to keep the planet the best we can. We should be good stewards. But I got news for you. It ain't getting no better. And that's just bad English for saying we're done. If we stay here long enough, that's why God's going to make what? A new heaven and a new earth. Now, I think there's some pretty good things, even though it's kind of, there's still some things that I think look pretty good on this earth. I mean, I see some beauty here. I know it's nothing like it was in the beginning. It's taken thousands of years to move down further. How many know? We're coming in the last days, and what did he say? There'll be more earthquakes, there's going to be more famines, there's going to be more destruction, there's going to be more weather patterns that are different. See, weather's been changing for thousands of years. I got news for them. It's nothing new under the sun. It's not new. It's the same old things. It's been happening for a long time. It's just progressively increasing as we move closer to the end. Hallelujah. And how many already are getting ready for that new body? That end's coming. There's coming a time when time will be no more. But as of now, we live here in this earth, in this body. And his love begins to move in when we're born again. Verse 28 of Genesis 1 says this, "And God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth," right? He had told them, this was the command he gave them. "Take dominion over everything, over the fish, over the seas." That means they have authority that was given to them. Amen. Authority over everything that he created. And God gave it to man because he chose to. It was his choice. Why? Because he's the creator, right? Amen. You ever make anything? You can give it to who you want, right? Amen. God made heaven and earth. And we had said that already. So here he's saying, populate the earth, fill the earth. This is his work that we're still working on. And so it's our responsibility And it's a complete that work. He said, hey, it wasn't done yet. And so since Adam and Eve had the life and nature of God, the offsprings that they had, if they had stayed in perfection, how many know their offspring would have been what? Produced into the life of God with the nature of God already in them. Because he gave man that ability to pass life to the next generation, to the next offspring that he would have. And that authority was he was to rule what God had what created over that life. And this really, I believe, over the entire universe, all that God created for him. Amen? How many think God created the universe for you and I? See, we get such small thinking. You know, we're stuck on the earth. We think, oh, this little, you know, when you look at the universe, this is just a little speck. You know, you can see it. Sometimes they'll show it, you know, from outer space. A little tiny thing. See that little speck right there? You're like a dust. Like when we see, you know, when the sun shines through the window and you see a little dust in the air. We're one of them little dust particles out in this place called the universe that God created for you and I. He's so big. Woo! You imagine how big he is. It's very difficult for us to really imagine, to understand the bigness of God. Yet, that's why the psalmist, what did he say? What is man, Lord, that you're mindful of us? Or the Son of Man, that you visited us? God had one thing for sure. He's got a soft spot for humans. He loves mankind. He loves mankind. All right. Genesis 2. Let's look at verse 16 and 17. Hallelujah. Now we're looking at why. See, we're kind of seeing why Jesus is praying this prayer. That they would all be one. When do we become one? When we're born again. We become one, what? With the Father and the Son. In his, what? Love. The same love that God loved Jesus with, he loves you with, and put that love in us. Romans 5, right? 5:5. We've been talking about that love, but here we see something happened, and that's verse 16 and 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat, freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Woo-wee. Bad news if they eat of the tree, but we know what happened, right? How many knows what happened? They ate of the tree, didn't they? And sometimes we say, well, first of all, God was living in complete unity with God. He had liberty. But man decided against what God had said. And he took of the forbidden fruit, whatever that was. Some say, you know, it was forbidden, this tree. Every tree he could eat of. There was nothing forbidden to man except one tree. And because you said, well, how did that happen? Because man, God left man with something that he will never take from man, and that is a free will choice. He did not want robots. He did not want people that were, you know, just do whatever he said. He wanted someone like himself to fellowship with, and he had it. He created it, the perfection in the beginning. And then man blew it, didn't he? Man blows it. He ate of that tree. And so because of that free will, because of God's choice, and because God had yielded authority over to man, God didn't have a whole lot left to work with, did he? Because man died, what? Spiritually on the inside. He said, in the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die. How many know God said, where are you, Adam? I think he knew where he was, don't you? God knew where Adam was, physically. But he did not know him any longer because he had sinned and was separated from his father. And he's saying, Adam, the man that I made, where are you? Have you eaten from the tree that I forbid you to eat of? I think God's heart was broken, don't you? God wanted man one with him forever. That was his original purpose and his original plan. And when man was dead and the sin had come, and Adam and Eve had hearkened to that, and now we see here in the third chapter, let's read verse 17 here in the third chapter. I think it's 17, yeah. And he said to Adam, and he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. So here we go. So he says, now even the ground, even the earth is what? It's cursed. Because man, what? Willingly chose to eat of the wrong tree, bringing forth the spiritual death that lived and would now be passed on to all mankind. So here's me and you. Unfortunately, we've been born into a spiritually dead race called the human race. Because just like the life which Adam and Eve had at the beginning when God breathed it into him would have been passed on and on and on, now they have died spiritually, and now because they have all authority in the earth and because what they had chosen to do, all of that death is passed on through the DNA of Adam and Eve right on down to you and I. Let's look at Romans 8, 20 and 20 through 22 real quick. Kind of describes here what we see. Now see, God had not much to work with left. He had what? Death, sin, right? So he's not having a whole lot left to work with. There's a lot of death and sin here. Rebellion. And a deaf nature, man was no longer alive to him. So God had to change some things. But let's look here a minute, one more time. Romans 8, verse 20 through 22. Romans 8, 20, for it says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until what? Until now. Because of Adam's rebellion, we don't have that nature of God in us, you know, was not in mankind. And so that nature is removed and the sin nature is there now. And God could not just come and put back and stop Adam and Eve because he had given them authority. So God had to prepare a man to take the place of sin. How many know sin has a wage? The Bible says the wages of sin was death or separation from God. eternal death, spiritual death on the inside. See, that was the first part, right? And then later, as time went by, their body died as well. Now, in the beginning, it took longer time till God shortened man's years. He said the number of man will be about, approximately, around, in other words, 120 years. You know, after Noah and the flood, then we see more and more death coming sooner and sooner to man. As far as physical death, you know, the spiritual death, of course, was always there. But now he comes. Why? So why did we need the Savior? Why did Jesus have to come as a man? Because the wages of sin was death. The death nature that man received had to be paid for. Or else, man, we were stuck in this state perpetually, forever. We're lost. There's no hope of knowing God or coming to God because sin was not allowed. God's perfect. Sin is really either the active rebellion or passive indifference toward God. That's all sin really is. Disobedience to Him. And it had that consequence. Romans 3:23, right? The wages of sin is death. There's something good news, though. It said, but what? The gift of God is eternal life through what? Jesus Christ our Lord. So God had to send a man into the earth. He said that he prepared a body for him, right? In who? In Mary. So man had willingly rebelled. So he had to find a way into the earth. And Mary willingly, what did she say? Be it unto me, Lord, according to your will. She says, Lord, I'm willing to be that vessel. Why? So that God could become the perfect man, the man that was alive to God, that did not have the death nature on the inside of him, but would be alive. Why? Because it was a supernatural implanting of Jesus. Supernaturally, God fertilizes the egg and the body of Mary, prepared that body for Jesus so that when he was born, he was not born in death, but in life, alive to God. Yet he was living, what, in a death body, just like you and I. He became, what, exactly like man, yet without sin. Sin did not taint his spiritual being. He was the only alive person unto God. And the Bible says, even though he was tempted in every way like man, yet what, without sin. So now, finally, God had into the earth, legally, brought man, a man, who is now perfect, because he could not find that a perfect man in the race of Adam and Eve. Why? Because all of us had that death that came through the DNA of Adam. There was never going to be another perfect man until Jesus came. And he says, I am now what? The second Adam, or the last Adam. I'm the Adam that has come, the man that has come to be the Redeemer for all mankind. Now, I mean, I know this is very simple and it seems so there, but when we can understand why God had to send that, we can see the beauty of our born again nature and what Jesus was praying in John 17, that they would be what? One with the Father, that they would know you, God, like I know you, that you can have the same life on the inside of you, the same kind of love, Father, that you love me with will be on the inside of them, and they will be born of you. They will have that same nature, that same life, that same glory that's in me, Lord. Let it be in them. Jesus was praying and he knew what was getting ready to happen. He was getting ready to go to that cross, wasn't he? He was getting ready to make the way, to finish finally, once and for all, that mankind, the death blow that was given to mankind. Jesus was going to take the punishment of it. Hallelujah. Now, how many know he did? And he died on that cross, didn't he? He paid the death penalty, the death payment. He paid the wage that sin had given. So really, sin is not really the problem of man. It's just simply the rejection of Jesus. Sin was really paid for. Sin not only for us, but for all mankind. How many know? That's why we preach Jesus and Him what? Crucified, buried, and rose from the grave. Because when we believe in that, when we say, yes, Lord, I see my need of a Savior. I cannot keep your righteous law. It is impossible for man to do so in and of himself. I must have a substitute that will take my place and pay the penalty for sin so that I may be what? Born again, or born from my Father, and receive the new nature. Amen. A new spirit, a newness comes on the inside of me. And then now I receive a new life. Remember he said in John 3, he said, the wind blows where it will. No man seems to understand it. See, we don't really fully realize the breath and the life of God moved on the inside of you and I afresh and anew. He said, that which was born of man, that in other words, that which is born of the woman through the water of man is what? Flesh. Our body is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit of God is spirit. It is alive. It has a life-giving power that's on the inside of you and I when we were born again in the same nature that Jesus had, alive to the Father, righteous before Him, filled with His love and His glory, that we might walk one with Him. We can't do it without that new birth. It is impossible, but when He gave it to us, the power of it gave us the ability to be one with our Father and to walk with Him in complete unity, in complete love. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. How many are glad you're born again today? And see that prayer of Jesus, that He prayed that we would be one, that we would have that glory, that we would have that same love that the Father had for Him on the inside of us, was answered when Jesus came and gave us that new birth. Amen. Hallelujah. How many? Hallelujah. I'm just glad I'm born again. Hallelujah. That's what he said in John 3, you must what? Be born again, or born from above. That death nature has to leave. We must receive the very life of God. We must believe that he paid the penalty. The penalty was death, and he took that death. The Bible said he destroyed death, hell, and the grave. And he raised again. He was raised to life, wasn't he? To what? The newness of life. And that's exactly what you receive. So that just as Jesus says, he said, I want them to be like I am right now. While he was standing on the earth, he said, I was alive to the Father. And that's what I want for mankind. And that is what we decided, Father. And that's what you and I received, that same life. So that as he is, so are we in this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's worship Him a minute. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Father, that we have passed from death to life. And we can now love like you love, Father. We can now walk like you walk, Jesus. We can now have fellowship with you, Father, to be one with you, Lord. And we can once again approach our Father without the fear of condemnation, Father. We've been made right with you through what Jesus' sacrifice did, that he destroyed hell. He destroyed death and all of its friends, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. We give you praise and we give you glory, Lord, today. I thank you, Father, for that new birth. Hallelujah, that we can simply turn our heart to you. Repent, Lord. Realize that we must turn and say, I need a Savior. Hallelujah. And if that's you here today, I know all of you probably been born again, and we're really talking about it today for understanding purposes, but perhaps there's one you're not sure. You said, well, I think I am. I confess Jesus, but did you turn? Did you turn your heart to him? Did we really repent and say, Lord, I need you? or you're here today and you said, yeah, I did, but you know, I need to renew my relationship. I need to come back to God. I've walked away with my free will. I didn't follow that spirit on the inside of me all the time. And I need to come back to Him. He said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He's not condemning you. He's saying, I'm here. I'm available. Will you come? It's more than just an invitation. It's a decision that we make with our mind and our heart. We say, Lord, take my life. Here I am. Amen. And I know most of you here today have done that. But if you're there and you haven't done that, the Bible says if we will believe in our heart that He died, that He paid that penalty for that sin, He took that death penalty, and we'll say, yes, I believe that His sacrifice was enough. He became sin for me, Lord, and I believe that. And I believe that He died, that He was put in that grave, and He rose again 3 days later. And I say, Jesus, be my master, be my Lord. I turn to You, Lord. I forsake my old ways, and I turn my life over to You. Come into me, Jesus. Come into my heart and make me new. If that's your heart today, cry out to Him. Call upon the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I need a Savior. I need You. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to be born again. I've got to have that. Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. It's an absolute must. Why? Because otherwise I'm lost in that death nature forever and ever. And I'll be eternally separated from God unless I turn, unless I repent, unless I decide I'm going to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. And I know most of you have, but if you haven't, just in case there's someone listening, or maybe they're going to listen, and you just simply turn to Him, like I said, call upon His name, say, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior. Come, make Your home in me. Let me live for You in the name of Jesus. Mean that with your heart. It's more of what your heart is than the words you say, but you call out to Him. God, I need a Savior. I can't live this life on my own. Because He had given commandments to man. They couldn't keep them. They needed a Savior. It was impossible. Amen? You couldn't, you know, they would steal or they'd lie. They've done something. Somebody's listening here and say, well, I'm a good person. Have you ever stolen anything? I would say, well, just something small. Well, one time I did steal something, you know. You might say, have you ever lied? Maybe you'd say many times, or maybe you said once. So far, we've got you to be a thief and a liar. Have you ever looked at a woman or a man to lust after them? The Bible says even if you lust after a woman or a man in your heart, you've already committed adultery against him. Oh, man, I did that. Maybe you actually partook, you know. So you would be what? A liar, a thief, an adulterer? How many know? Have you kept the law of God? Do you see your need for a Savior? Each one, every man, has sinned and come short of Jesus, who is God's glory, but through Him is that eternal life. That's the good news. We have to see the need. How many know sometimes people need to know what's wrong with them before they get cured? You know, if your doctor said, well, you got cancer, and you said, well, I don't believe you, just forget it. Forget you, you know, but he talks to you about it. He said, this is what's happening in your body. This is why. I think I'll tell you, and here's what I recommend. Here's the cure. I'm bringing you the cure today. And His name is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we're born again, how much life do we receive? All of His life. That entire package. The love of God, the life of God, the oneness with Him, the forgiveness of sin, and He takes you into His own self. It says, you are mine. I adopt you as my son, my daughter. Oh, hallelujah. What a salvation we have. Amen. How many are thankful they're born again? All right, let's stand up. Well, we already are. We're already on him. So, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the truth.